What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. The phone lines are open. Area code 512-248-8252. So we opened up the phone lines a little bit earlier than we have been. So, you know, get out those fingers and start pushing those numbers to get on in here. So we're talking about how the corporate media is on the attack against anybody who is challenging critical race theory. And a good example of that would be Joy Reid over at MSNBC. And she finally invited critical race theory opponent Christopher Rufo onto her show, but wouldn't let him speak. She basically kept talking over him so they couldn't get any points out. At one point, Christopher said, I hope next time you let me complete two sentences. And so, yeah, the bias is definitely, definitely there. Okay, we're going to go to the phones now. Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, thanks, Mike, for letting me on. But, you know, this critical race theory, this just popped out of nowhere. I mean, you were worried about people calling in and kookifying about a fake moon landing and all that stuff, but our entire world has been kookified. I mean, everything
it
is
does look like it. I have to grant you that. Yeah, it does look like it. I mean, every day I get up and I say, just how much worse can it get? You know, and now there was an article that came through. I didn't put it at my website where now birds are being described as racist.
Oh, speaking of birds, did you hear about the deadly something was wrong with the birds in Washington, D.C. and Maryland? And, did you catch that story?
No, I didn't catch that. But, you know, this article was saying that the names of birds are in fact, derived from racial bias.
Well, I heard a while back that apparently white male is racist. I mean, you know, it's funny, too. They put a big 6-foot-tall statue of that George Floyd. I believe it's in New Jersey or something, but it was just a head. And they, ironically, made it a white head. It was actually generated from one of those 3D printers, and they made it white. So that was where I heard that from Dabu 7. Or something like that.
That's funny. Anyway. That is very funny.
Well, this entire world is funny. I'm just wondering if we're ever going to step up and say no to this. But right now, I think everybody's being pacified with the free money and whatnot. They don't realize what it's doing to our economy and how it's going to make inflation go up. They don't realize that people are not seeing all the farmland that's been sold off to these billionaires. They haven't seen the cattle ranchers. They haven't seen the settlers.
Oh, yeah, and you got BlackRock is buying up all the houses. Yeah. I mean, it's getting pretty ugly out there.
So, I mean, we're getting to a point where I'm just sitting here waiting for somebody to step up, and I'll go walk next to them. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Then you have to worry about whether or not those people are infiltrated. But at this point, I really don't care, because what's my life worth if I can't live it? So, I mean, just like the people who got us this great country, we need some people to step up now and say, you know, it's time to do it again. And I think it's getting roughly close to that time because, I mean, the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be to get it back. So I really think people need to give some consideration and stop thinking about your YouTube, your music videos, your little Netflix. And start looking at life as what it really is, because it's going to boil down to you're going to need a friend here pretty soon, and these people don't believe that.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that people are going to take a pause on this next 4th of July holiday and remember what it's really about. It isn't just about hot dogs and beer. Although I'll drink the beer. You know, it is about that Declaration of Independence. It is about, you know, kicking out a government that was tax happy and not listening to the people. And, you know, we're back there already. With these rigged elections, we have taxation without representation.
And I would suggest to people on the 4th of July to actually look up the Declaration of Independence and read it. Because as you read it, it's just incredibly where we're at now and beyond. We're beyond where they were at. Their fires were lit for a lot less than what we're going through now.
Yes.
I mean, we have the largest prison system in the world, but we're supposedly the freest country. And for-profit prisons, how did that ever come about? I mean, who came up with that idea? I'm sure it was them barely billionaires.
The Nazis, I think.
Well, there
you
go.
That's what all those camps they had over there. They were slave labor camps, you know, making materials for the German army.
But they give incentive to arrest people and throw them in these things. Because, I mean, how do you make your money? More prisoners. Keep it full.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a whole bunch of judges who've, been caught, literally convicting people to order for these corporations running these prisons. And it's fascism. Well, plain and simple fascism.
Yeah, but it's moving into something else, maybe something we've never seen. I mean, right now this vaccination is, sort of voluntary, and now they're trying to code. You can see the whole reaction here. It was voluntary. They got all these knuckleheads who would come and get it. Not saying anything about you. You had to do something.
Take yourself out of the knucklehead category. Yeah.
But I'm saying, I mean, all these people, they waited until everybody who came and got it, got it right off the bat, and then, wait a minute, it slowed down, so now they started giving you incentives, french fries, hamburgers, free ice cream in Canada, lotteries.
Basically, when they're handing out things like candy and hamburgers and Slurpees and all the rest of it, it's obviously not an issue of your health.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to look at it. Never took that idea. But, I mean, they're doing that. So now, when that doesn't work, what's their next step? Well, then they're going to have the companies that you work for make it mandatory that you're vaccinated to work for. And then so many people will go away that don't want it. And then the ones that did take it, they'll take it. And then what are they going to do after that? Well, I think we're getting really close to that so-called mandatory vaccine, in which they're going to come by.
I'm looking forward to seeing that Arizona report. And assuming that we have not been sold a propaganda bill of goods, when that comes out, I'm expecting there to for the American people to really stand up and say, okay, this has gone on far enough. We have lost control of the government, and that is an intolerable situation because it means, we live under tyranny, and tyranny perpetuates itself with fraud and force. And when the fraud doesn't work anymore, they go to the force.
Well, and the deep state is what's really going on right now. And literally, our presidents, I mean, look how hands-tied Trump was. And look at Bumbling Biden. Bumbling Biden, he has to, well, I got some questions here I need to ask these specific reporters. Do I have time for that?
Yeah, he's a joke, and everybody knows it. And I think this is why Europe wants to have their own meeting with Putin, because Biden really didn't do much of anything when he met with Putin other than to basically, give away the Nord Stream 2 pipeline sanctions.
Isn't that fantastic that he could okay a pipeline for these guys to put through Ukraine, but he'll close down the Colonial Pipeline? And let's not kid ourselves, he did that because he's all about the Green New Deal. And then he also shut down the Keystone Pipeline immediately. That was one of the first things he did when he got in office.
Well, that has nothing to do with environmentalism. One of his big campaign donors is heavily into railroading. And if they don't have a pipeline, then the oil and gas have to be shipped by train, and somebody's going to make a lot of money off of that.
Well, you just enlightened me. I didn't know that. I thought his Mr. Green New Deal, he just wanted to make us feel like, hey, I'm in charge here. We're getting rid of oil. We're getting rid of these fossil fuels, so they call them, and all this other stuff, and coal. I mean, coal plants. I mean, they're shutting down coal plants left and right.
That's a big part of what happened to the Texas, power grid down there is because a couple of their power plants were coal-fired, and they got shut down because of the Green New Deal, and that's why they're running short now.
Absolutely, and it's amazing that without a replacement, they're going to start shutting stuff down. And now they're going to move to these electric cars. And so,
where are they going to get the electricity for those cars? They're going to get them from oil and coal-fired plants, unless they start building more nuclear power plants, and I hope they build them safely.
I think you mentioned something about Audi in the next, by 2030 or 2025 or something, are no longer going to make any gasoline cars. They're going to be all electric.
That's out in California. They passed a law saying that as of 2025, gasoline-powered cars will not be available for sale inside California. I mean, they've already banned the Porsches with the manual six-speed transmission because they're too noisy.
Well, isn't that funny how they're doing all this stuff? They never did this before. All the stuff they could never do, all of a sudden it's like they broke a dam and now they can go do anything they want.
They got to look like they're running the state. I mean, they can't do a thing about the wildfires or the illegal immigration or the flooding. So, you know, they're justifying their jobs and their positions by going out and banning Porsches and gasoline vehicles and, you know, all kinds of things like that, which really don't, you know, it doesn't accomplish much of anything for the people.
Well, you know, I'm not really sure I want to live in this world anymore. I'm ready for a change, but I want to change back to where I was when I was a kid growing up in the 60s.
You know, I know that feeling very, very well. You know, I miss that world, or at least I miss what it appeared to be back then. Now, I've come to understand over the last several years that there's been a lot of election fraud and a lot of corruption, you know, especially during the Prohibition period. But it is really bad, and it's out in the open. It's with the elections being totally controlled, it's like they don't care anymore that we know they're all criminals and sex fiends and psychopaths.
Well, you know, Richard Nixon said, "I'm no crook," with his two peace signs up there.
Yeah,
but he was a crook because he took us the rest of the way off of the gold standard, and that allowed this fiat currency to be produced at a massive amount, and that's how we have all these billionaires and how it became the world currency.
Well, let's be fair here. Nixon really didn't have a choice. The Federal Reserve kind of boxed him into a corner on that one because they were printing up more of that fiat currency than we had gold to back up. And, you know, France had said, you know, we've got a whole pile of Federal Reserve notes, in our vaults here from our exported products here. And we want to cash them in for gold at the agreed upon, you know, $35 an ounce. That's what it was back there. And Nixon took a look at what gold we actually had on hand and was nowhere near enough to cover all the paper money the Federal Reserve put out. And so, you know, delinking the dollar from gold was really the only thing that he could do.
Okay, so mentioning gold then, do you believe the United States owns any gold at all right now? I think we've been
technically, the gold in Fort Knox is the collective property of we the people. But we don't know what's in there or how much of it is fake. There hasn't been an actual audit of Fort Knox in over 50 years.
So that would have been a good one. I mean, you know, Ron Paul went after he wanted to end the Fed at first, and then they told him to shut up. So he just wanted to audit the Fed, and then told him to shut up. So he should have went after, okay, let's audit our gold. We should have went to Fort Knox. I mean, if they're going to push down all the way, go to Fort Knox. Let's find out how much gold we got. I'm surprised they didn't do that. Anyway, that's about all I got there, Mike. You have a good day, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. And we're going to go to James in Tokyo. Ohayou gozaimasu. Genki desu ka? What's on your mind today?
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't believe in critical race theory.
I know it's a problem. It's out there, but, I certainly don't agree with any of its tenets.
Mike, I ask you not to tell me that.
Okay.
Anyway.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, you know, I kind of believe in it because I think a lot of the white liberal Democrats have kept blacks down for so long, in my opinion. And they're causing a lot of problems throughout America, I believe, as a result of that. And though I do agree, however, that IKEA was very insensitive for their Juneteenth special meal.
Yeah, that was like completely clueless and out of touch.
Potato salad and collard greens and stuff like that, because they didn't have any malt liquor. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
Okay.
But anyway, I believe it's critical race theory. I mean, it's really expanding. I mean, even in Japan, my one of my sons, he doesn't live with me, but we live in the same building, in different units, and he comes by a lot for dinner, and we watch TV. And a couple months ago, they were pushing the whole thing of how whites were targeting Asian people in America. And he doesn't speak English very well, but he says, you know, Dad, is this true that, whites are attacking Asians all throughout America? And I think what I told him something that I think a lot of people are really scared to say on this whole critical race theory. There's so many people that have white guilt. But I basically told him my personal opinion. And I told him my personal opinion, and I just said, I just believe it's mostly black people that are targeting Asians, that are it's mostly black people that are targeting blacks. It's mostly black people that are targeting white. And if there's any kind of, you know, race problems, I think it's that a lot of white people are scared of black people because of the violence that they bring.
Yes.
I grew up in New York. I wouldn't go into there, a lot of areas. I wouldn't go in because I'd be scared of getting killed.
Yeah.
And it'll happen today. You know, you can walk in Baltimore, you see it on the news, you know, where a guy runs up behind you with a concrete block and hits you in the head. You see, I saw just yesterday of people in, I don't know where that was. It looked like a really nice area, though, but there's some street fight breaks out where it turns into people trying to hit other people with cars and gunfights breaking out.
Yeah.
And my son said to me, though, he said, you know, I believe you, Dad. And he says, they put this stuff on the news, too, on the Japanese news of how whites were, you know, like American news thing that white people are targeting Asian people. So they issued some kind of travel warnings and stuff. But then they had a lot of talk shows about that topic. And a lot of people on the talk show said, we don't believe this is true. This is mostly black people targeting Asians. So my son says, yeah, wow. I said, I didn't know. I don't watch Japanese TV. But, yeah, a lot of people in Japan are kind of waking up and they can see that that stuff is false as well. So, you know, just trying to push this stuff, it's just causing a lot of problems. And I think it's probably one of the most disgusting things that someone could do is to try and indoctrinate kids from such an early age, that they're evil.
Yeah, it really is. And it's being encouraged to divert our anger away from that which is making us angry. Now, you've probably heard the old story about how the boss yells at the employee, and the employee goes home, and he yells at his wife, and the wife turns around and yells at the kid, and the kid turns around and kicks the dog. And I think what's going on, the reason for all this violence and craziness, is that Americans are really beginning to realize, just how abusive the government has become, but they don't dare stand up to the government, so they're taking out their anger and their rage and frustration on each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of sense into that. And but I think a lot of it should be trying to, rather than blaming people, is I don't know what you could do, just try and maybe elevate the lives of black people somehow. So somehow like try and indoctrinate them out of their violent lifestyles and stuff like that.
I have no solution for it. Well, you know, there is unfortunately this cultural thing where, you know, the black population in the United States, at least, has been nurturing this thing about we are owed because of slavery, and politicians keep reinforcing that. But I remember back during the Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, one of the first targets that the rioters went after were all the convenience stores that were owned by Koreans and Vietnamese and people like that. Because, you know, the blacks had this image of we're living in an economically deprived area. We can't make a better life for ourselves. And then all of these people with a really good work ethic came on in, and they were successful and prosperous in that neighborhood. And it created a huge amount of resentment because it basically, I'll finish this on the other side of the commercial. James, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine. It happens far too often. A decorated soldier, veteran of the war. Who would have thought that he would be among the sick and poor? The preacher man wags his head while the rich man.
And welcome back to our show here, and I want to finish up on that thought that I had with James before the commercial break. One of the most destructive forces in our society are people who love their victimhood, and we have seen that all over the place. Blacks feel they're victims of the white, the gays feel they're victims of the straight, women feel they're the victims of men, and being a victim allows you to not look at your own shortcomings as a possible reason for not being where you want to be in life. And, you know, that was certainly the case in South Central Los Angeles. It was declared an economically disadvantaged area. And everybody said, well, you know, there's no point in trying. You know, we can't do anything here. And then all of these Asians with really good work ethics came on in, set up businesses, and they were doing really well. And that's why when the Rodney King riots broke out, those businesses were targeted. They were just burned to the ground. I remember this one video of this Korean gentleman on the roof of his business with some kind, you know, a rifle, trying to keep the rioters from setting fire to his store. And that is unfortunately a big part of what goes on in our society, and it is very, very destructive. And again, the government likes to encourage this kind of stuff because it keeps us divided against each other. And as a matter of fact, somebody just sent me an email saying CRT actually means creating racial tension. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now to Nathan in Northern California. Hello, Nathan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike.
Yeah.
I'll try to get in a good mood. I just got off the phone with my bank.
Yeah.
And somebody got into my debit card and put a charge on Levi's.com for, you know, $97.60, and I didn't do it. So, you know, they gotta cancel your account. They take a report and the whole bit, you know. And it's
yeah.
Just like, Jesus. Then you gotta wait 10 days to get another card, and it's just like, come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
Anyway, the good news is, I have ruled out everybody at RBN and all of your listeners. I'm sure that they had nothing to do with it.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for that trust.
Okay. I wanted to talk real quickly about George Floyd and a little bit on Ashley Babbitt.
Yes.
But if I may, can I get something off my chest about Donald Trump that's really bugging me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, a number of months ago, I saw a video where Trump was sitting at a big table, you know, that meeting table where they get 20, 25, 30 people together
yeah.
and they have a meeting. So one of the members of the press asked him about hydroxychloroquine. And he said, well, I'm going off the regimen in 3 or 4 days. And I'm sitting there looking at the TV and going, what do you mean you're going off the regimen in 3 or 4 days? You're not supposed to go off the regimen in 3 or 4 days. You know, if you've ever listened to Dr. Zelenko or any of the other people that advocate hydroxychloroquine, you take one pill a day, Monday through Friday, okay? So you take one pill a day. Then after that, it's the same thing as the malaria treatment. You take a pill a week, you know, so every Friday thereafter, you take one pill, and then you take about 400 milligrams a day of zinc.
Yes.
And if they really think that you need some extra protection or whatever, you take azithromycin or whatever. So when he's saying, I'm going off the regimen in 3 or 4 days, I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? And then 10, 12 weeks later, well, lo and behold, Trump gets COVID. He's in the hospital. There's 12 doctors around him poking him and this and that, and they finally give him a little bit of a cure, and they get him out of the hospital. And then I guess he shifts gears into Operation Warp Speed.
Yes.
You know, let's go for the vaccine. And as you know, the vaccine is responsible for about 15,000 deaths in Europe. And we're approaching maybe 5,000 deaths in the United States. We have
I've heard much higher numbers.
Yes, and I've heard that the VAERS report is only 1% of the actual cases. You know, so
yeah, that's we talked about that last week.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know, I believe that, you know, this is Trump's greatest blunder. And, you know, all because you can't take one
It's a bad one. I don't think it's his greatest blunder. I think not cleaning up the election system was one of his greatest blunders. I think not cleaning out the executive branch and putting all of his own people in there when he first took office was another one. Yeah,
yeah.
He's messed up a few.
Well, he's like a Jekyll and Hyde, you know? I mean, I really,
okay. Nathan,
really...
Nathan, yes. I got to put you on hold. Okay, don't hang up. I'm going to come right back to you after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it, today.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
Welcome back to our show here, and we are talking with Nathan in Northern California, and you wanted to talk about Floyd and Babbitt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. But just to sum it up on Trump, you know, he had an opportunity to just take one pill a week, you know, and he couldn't do it. And Dr. Zelenko, who I believe is in upstate New York, you know, he was part of the, you know, founding fathers of the treatment. He really didn't do that much. But he could have. He called into the White House a number of times, and Trump could have had a one-minute conversation with him, and he would have told him, do not go off of hydroxychloroquine, period. And, you know, shame on
him. Well, Trump should have listened to a lot of people. He should have listened to me about the election fraud issue, but,
But, you know, 11 states did give him the middle finger, and they said that we're not going to cooperate with you. And so he was really in a jam, but I think that this past election, it's almost at the point where they've got to get to the bottom of it. I believe Steve Bannon is right. We have to get to the bottom of the election on November 3rd, and they are also trying to get to the bottom of the Wuhan virus. And
yes.
Okay, I'll jump over to George Floyd. Did you know that if you go to Google Maps, George Floyd was 10 blocks away from Abbott Northwestern Hospital?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cup Foods is at the corner of 38th and Chicago, and this hospital emergency room is at the corner of 28th and Chicago. So he's about, I don't know, 90 seconds away, 2 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys, you know, all this stuff that's going on in the ambulance, and you can't even tell that the ambulance is moving, you know, it's all theater, you know. And they're, if they're 90 seconds away from an emergency room, why in the world are they even bothering to, you know, hook him up to a heart pumping machine? They're hooking him up to a Stryker machine.
Yeah.
You put a plastic plate underneath his chest, and then you put this rainbow type of thing over him, and you just snap it in. Now, these guys are fumbling around trying to get the second snap in, and this guy, there's two holes in the side of the ring, in the side of the rainbow. And this guy is pulling up on the ring, and I'm like, get your hands off that ring. That is to release it, not install it. That guy wasn't an EMT.
Yeah.
You know, he was a crisis actor. And so they're fooling around for 10, 11 minutes, and they let Officer Lang off at the corner of Park and 36th. Okay? So
okay.
They went over two blocks, and then they went up two blocks, and they let him out, and they're parked by the side of the road. What are you guys doing? And one of the EMTs testified in court that he thought George Floyd was dead. So you have a guy who's suffering from heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
Why in the world aren't you booking it straight up Chicago Ave to the emergency room? What are you doing?
Well, you just said it. They thought he was already dead.
Yeah, but he's getting to the hospital.
He may have already been dead at that point, in which case there's no need for a panic. Anyway, let's move on to Ashley Babbitt. We've got a bunch of callers, and we're starting to run out of time. I need you to kind of move along a little bit.
Okay, Ashley Babbitt. Okay, what you do is, I've told you this before, you screen capture the shooting scene with Ashley Babbitt. Then you put it into your movie maker, okay, and you run it at 1/4 or 1/8 speed. And what you'll see is that Ashley Babbitt was wearing a safety harness around her waist, okay? She was hooked up.
I have taken a very good look at that video, and I do not agree with
you. Look at it at 1/4 or 1/8 speed and stop
it. I have looked at it in freeze frame, and I do not agree with you. Okay?
No. You're looking at the blurred part, I'll bet. And then when he shoots the gun, there is like a pole that goes snap, you know? And then you see
Nathan,
you're chewing up.
I have to say, I disagree with you. And
looked
at the video.
No, Mike, come on.
Anyway, Nathan, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and we're going to move over to Tom in Florida. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Wow. What a call. That guy James from Japan was very informative, Mike. That was a very informative call you got from Japan. It was really interesting.
Yes.
Very good. Mike, here's what's on my mind today. And before I go on to one character, I'm going to talk about what's going on with the Teddy Roosevelt statue. You're removing it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And now that's disgraceful.
I'm actually one degree of separation from him.
What's that, Mike?
I said I'm one degree of separation from him. My grandfather, the one who got drunk with Richard Nixon, he rode with the Rough Riders as a kid. Actually, he didn't ride. They walked. They really didn't have a lot of horses. They called themselves the Rough Riders because of the Buffalo Bill show.
Yes, absolutely. To me, he was probably the second greatest president in United States history, Teddy Roosevelt, my
yep.
opinion. That's my opinion, but I got my opinion. Listen, Teddy Roosevelt, he did do a thing called, you ever heard of Mike, called Race, Rights, and Immigration? You ever read a story about Teddy Roosevelt when he was writing about race, rights, and immigration?
Okay, can you move your mouth closer to the microphone? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, well, Mike, here's what I want to say, okay, is Teddy Roosevelt was a fantastic president, and now they're trying to dish on him because you're going to keep him wins, Black Lives Matter.
Okay, okay, Tom, what if, you're back to being muffled. You're back to where I can't hear you. Okay, I don't know what kind of handset or headset you're using, but, you know, you're not coming through clear.
Can you hear me now, Mike?
Yeah, can you keep talking like that and holding whatever it is you're holding?
Yes, I had a call coming. Anyway, Mike, here's what I got to say. Yeah, going back to Teddy Roosevelt, he wrote about race rights and immigration, what's going to happen in the future of the United States, and boy,
yes.
Did that play out the way Teddy was talking about. Now, going back to the last, we'll talk about Newsom being booted out. Hopefully he gets booted out. Nancy Pelosi's, what is it, the nephew of Nancy Pelosi or something? This guy Newsom?
Yeah, whatever, I know they're related.
But here's also, Mike, what I got to say. You know, yesterday, the last call you called in your show, is saying me and this guy are going to a civil war. I'm not looking at a civil war at none of the callers, especially a guy like him. But the guy that calls your show, he don't call in for months, and he's laughing and cracking up like it's a real joke that, oh, two guys, we don't agree on all everything, but me and Marco agree probably on 99% of the things, the issues going on in this country. But to have a guy like him calling in your show and say, well, there's a civil war going to be brewing between these two guys. There's no civil war brewing, Mike. It's utter nonsense. And this guy was the guy who was a Democrat, said he voted for Obama. And, you know, I still say he's a Democrat all the way, through and through. This guy's nothing but a Democrat. I don't even know if he did vote for Trump. But to me, you know, he calls in your show. And when he does call your show, it's always, we never heard this guy calling about Biden one time and bash him. Not one time.
Yep.
But he's going to try to get me and Marco in a feud. It doesn't work like that here, my friend. I mean, this guy's a PayPal. This is what this guy is. This guy in Jersey is a PayPal. Hey, PayPal. That's what he is. Always trying to stir up crap between conservative viewpoints. But in the meantime, he doesn't talk about Mendez and Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
He don't talk about that crazy Governor Murphy over there giving all these illegal aliens Section 8 housing, better health care than you and me get, and he gets. You know?
Okay.
And you know,
once
by
again,
the way,
we're
Mike,
getting into the illegal immigration rants, and Tom, I need to ask you to cool that a little bit. You know,
okay,
and
I'm not, Mike,
focus.
I'm just saying, and now I'll stay on focus, Mike. In the last call you had was talking about COVID-19. Well,
yeah.
Mike, this all right now in the Miami Herald and also on the major TV networks down here, and I'll talk about Surfside in the building class in a minute, but what's happening with that right now, okay, is young people are getting heart enlargements. You heard about that? All these young guys
are getting heart enlargements?
Finally
admitted that there is a link. Yeah.
Yeah, so nobody's talking about now. The major Brian Mudd down here in South Florida was talking about it today. All these young people getting heart enlargements because they took Pfizer and Moderna. So and now they haven't even talked about Johnson & Johnson yet. So what's going on with this nonsense, Mike? I mean, and then you know, I just don't understand it all. It's mind-boggling, perplexing to me that all this insanity's going on. In 1969, we had the Hong Kong flu, N1H1,
yep.
And nobody took a vaccination. Nobody wore a mask. And everyone's going to school. All the kids went to school. They didn't miss a year and a half of school. But here, all of a sudden, this was a political ploy by Zog to destroy the United States of America and Europe, for that matter.
I don't think it was by Zog. I think it was just a money-making opportunity. And, you know, the fact that I don't know if you listened to the first part of the show, documents have surfaced showing that Anthony Fauci was sending candidate vaccine samples to the Wuhan lab before the pandemic actually started.
Absolutely. And I agree with that, too.
You know, it's a simple business model. Make everybody sick
PayPal.
And sell them a medicine.
It's all about the money. Money's the king. King money. King is the money.
Yep.
Money is the king. That's what it is.
Yep.
So, you know, Mike, and going back now to Newsom, I don't know if this guy's going to be booted out of office. There's 1.5 million, 1.7 million to get this creep out of office. Hope to God it happens, like they got the one governor years ago out of there.
Yeah.
You know, if they keep this guy in office, Mike, I don't know what to tell you. I think the Democrats are going to hold power for a long time because this is a chance now to really expose these demon rats. What they're getting away with. Kamala Harris now is going to the border because Trump
Newsom being a Democrat himself, I'm sure that they're going to have the Dominion voting machines out there counting his recall election for him. You know, I think the motto
slogan
for Dominion voting machines ought to be Dominion, we'd guarantee the results.
I totally agree with that too, Mike. And one more thing, you know, what happened in Surfside here in Miami, North Miami Beach, that was tragic, and they're still looking for bodies. But they're building buildings right on the ocean, Mike. What do they expect? The salt water's coming in, the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even talking about hurricanes.
You know,
and they're putting
you're not
buildings
on a
like
good bedrock foundation there. I mean, some architect or engineer is definitely going to get hauled for that one. Anyway, Tom, listen, we're running out of time here, and I want to get to these other callers who've been waiting patiently. So thank you very much, and we're going to switch over to Melissa in Maryland. Hello, Melissa. Thank you for waiting so patiently. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Good afternoon. Why don't you weigh in on this, please? And just quickly, I want to revert back to two callers ago. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the guy that had an alternative theory about Ashley Babbitt, I'd like him to call back in because I'd like to hear what he has to say. But I'm going to...
Well, I don't agree with his analysis, and I don't really feel like giving him a platform for that. Because he's called into this show with that theory before, and I did go and look at the video, and because of my NASA background, I'm an image processing expert, and I cleaned it up, and no, I am not seeing what he is imagining that he's seeing.
Okay, well, my question for you is, I'm presuming that you are pretty much in the same position that I am in, that you don't have any working payphones in your area. Is that correct?
What's a payphone?
Oh, my. You're acting like somebody who's 15. You know a payphone?
No, there are no payphones around here.
You can make a phone call. You know what I'm talking about? Let me just spell it for you.
Yeah, I know what a payphone is, and no, there aren't any around here, and it's very hard to find them anymore because, you know, everybody's got cell phones, and the problem with the payphone is that, you know, criminals and drug dealers were using them because they were basically untraceable.
Well, my question for you is, if you were to consider it such as I consider it to be a crisis in the state of emergency in my area, that there aren't any working payphones, because if somebody finds themselves with their phone suddenly going out, they're at a stranger's mercy to use a phone. So my question for you is, in the absence of payphones, I don't think that, the phone business is going to address it or take care of it. And it doesn't look like any charities have stepped in to address a lack of pay phones. So my question is that the government's role and responsibility to address that we don't have working pay phones, do you think?
No, I think, you know, pay phones have gone the way of, the phonograph and... it's simply technology is evolving and emerging, and everybody's got cell phones now, the payphones are just not a viable economic operation anymore. They're expensive to install and maintain, and they're just not making a whole heck of a lot of money. I do know that most airports still have payphones. They work with plastic, not coinage. But no, I don't see this as being a big problem. So, Melissa, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. We got a couple of lines open right now, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Bob in North Carolina. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, sir. I wanted to ask you, I'm disappointed with what we call alternative media, or, I guess you have a term for it. But, Enrique Tarrio was arrested on January 4th, and that threw up a lot of red flags for me. I was already suspicious, especially even that guy, Ali Alexander. I saw him on Alex Jones' show and everything, but I did not hear anyone warn so-called patriots to be careful going to D.C. I heard no one talking about there could be a trap. I see some of the most unsophisticated ideas.
Well, then you weren't listening to my show at the time, because I did say be very, very careful that there's going to be agent provocateurs, to try and turn this into something ugly. And I did warning rather repeatedly.
I was listening because you stated that you would like to go if you could go. So, and then I wanted to ask you this real quick question, and we'll call it what's the difference. So, did you get your mother-in-law out and take her to dine somewhere at a restaurant? What's to say that the person in the car that's waiting outside hasn't been vaccinated? What's to say the person in the restaurant hasn't been vaccinated?
Well, that's their issue, and, I kind of wish them well and that they remain healthy. But at this point, the actual numbers for COVID infections, we know they're being inflated. Anyway, Bob, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back after these few words.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Miles in Maine. Hello, Miles. Been a while since you called on in. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. Yeah, I was just wondering if our friend in New Jersey is sitting there on the bench with his mask on next to George Floyd spending his afternoons. But I think that was an interesting point Tom made, because he was a continuous basher of Trump, and it's been half a year now, and of all the feeble and buffoonery coming out of Biden. He hasn't said a word, you know. But the other question I want to ask is, were you able to, because with your, you know, being an expert in many things, or at least demonstrating a vast knowledge that you have, one of the shows with, like, Dane Wigington or Brooks Agnew, I think you're just the guy to be an excellent interviewer of them, and I think it would make for a great show. Did you ever get any word back on that?
No, I did not, and, you know, I'm trying to sort of reach out to people and book more guests for the show in my copious amounts of free time, you know, I'll just give it another shot.
Yeah, see, those guys, that's where we get our money's worth out of you, Michael, because you will ask them the questions that, you know, we don't have the expertise like you or the vast, you know, knowledge that you demonstrate on those different issues in the area of physics and exploration and that type of stuff. But anyway, have a great show, and thank you so much, Michael.
Well, thank you very much, and we're going to go to Marco in Alabama. Hello, Marco. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey. And the greatest thing, dude, about being an American and being in a free and open society is that you can have a difference of opinion.
Yes.
I do agree with 99%, dude, of things, dude, that Tom talks about. You know, I was just, you know, raising issue because, you know, in order for us, dude, I mean, the South is pretty much aligned. And if there's something, dude, that one person sees, dude, within, you know, our southern region, if we have the ability to point it out to other people, that's all that I was talking about yesterday. I wasn't smashing DeSantis as a person. I just think, dude, that, you know, within this, you know, COVID passport bill,
yeah,
there is language that is appeasing, you know, to the left, dude, because, you know, when it boils down to it, you know, how, like, the globalists work, dude, you know, they always sit here and put things, you know, secretly inside bills, dude, and think that the American people are not smart enough, you know.
Yeah, when we restart the country, that practice has to go. We have to say it's an ironclad rule. Each bill is for one purpose and one purpose only.
Yeah, no subliminals, no, you know, hidden...
No writers, no writers.
...double-tone meetings.
Yep.
But you know, there is no civil war with me and Tom or anything like that. You know, I just wanted to point out, you know, that, you know, here in Alabama, we have the same tone in our COVID passport law, that if they deem you a public health risk, you know, you're automatically, you know, have your life taken over by a government employee, and they could possibly, you know, take your freedom like they did with a gentleman, dude, who had protested CRT and vaccination of children.
Marco, I hate to cut you off, but we are at the end of the program. Thank you for the call. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of fun things to share with you. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of WhatReallyHappened.com. Please, please donate. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, TGIF, and Aloha America.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.